step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Hello, high net worth individuals. I do hope this advertisement finds you well and your Q4 is progressing positively and you're enjoying this phenomenal silly season. Look, I just wanted to reach out and connect and tell you about our sponsor, Athletic Greens. I've been taking Athletic Greens for the last 8 weeks and it is the foundation of why I've had such a prolific silly season. I haven't got ill. I've got loads and loads of energy and my stools are incredible. Honestly, if you want to see a picture, just DM me. I will show you. So what is in this stuff? There's 75 quality high net worth vitamins, minerals, whole food source ingredients and probiotics. And it's a great way to start your day. To make it easy, I have managed to connect with the CEO of Athletic Greens, and they're going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs for your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/rigbiz. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/rigbiz and take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutrition insurance.
Virgin Active Rebel.
Oh, hi, mate. It's Archie Curzon here. Just wondering if you can help me. I run one of the most elite CrossFit teams in Clapham, the Chassis Monsters, and just calling around the gyms just to see whether it's possible. We quite like to host our annual Christmas CrossFit in your gym. I was just wondering how much that would be to rent a space. It would be quite good banter. Like, we're all quite good lads. We're all good neck, low body fat, all got, you know, fairly good jobs, but just want to find a space where we can just chuck a few kettlebells around, have a bit of a laugh, maybe have a few beers in a training room.
I don't believe we offer anything like that. I can double check with my manager right now.
Where did you say you was calling from, sorry? Yeah, I'm the captain of the Chassis Monsters CrossFit team. They're quite well known. We compete quite high level, like, so we've been out to Dubai, do a lot on the common. But if you can speak to the manager, I'm pretty sure we've done it a couple of years ago, pre-COVID, we came and just chucked a couple of kettlebells around, did some battle ropes, had a few beers.
Yeah, sweet, no worries. I'm just going to put you on hold. He's right here, so I'm just going to pick you up, all right?
Yeah, if he wants to speak to me, let me know.
Hi there, you're speaking to Muffin Membership Team. How are you?
Yeah, I was just speaking to a colleague. I'm the captain of the CrossFit team, the Chassis Monsters. I'm pretty sure you've heard of us around Clapham. And we've got our annual Christmas CrossFit, which is quite a good laugh. And I was just wondering if it's possible to rent some space in the gym for a couple of hours. We just want to have like a bit of a CrossFit sesh. Do a few battle ropes, a few snatches, a few burpees, and then just have a few beers, and then we'll be out of your hair.
I don't think it's something we can do, to be honest with you.
Really? Not even for, you know, a couple of grandoids?
No, it's just not something that we do with the company.
I've been to the gym before. Could we use the, if we just came in and just did a mini CrossFit in the reception area and just had a few beers, would that be possible?
No, that still wouldn't. The head office wouldn't allow that.
Okay, I'm just trying to think how this would work, because your gym's probably the most elite in Clapham, and like that just sort of fits with our brand. So maybe we could just CrossFit outside it. That's okay, isn't it? On the pavement.
I mean, I guess so.
Keep your eyes peeled. If you see like 12 absolute rigs outside in Christmas hats and vests, having quite a good fun with a kettlebell barrel rope, just like, you mate, come and join. Like, tell your staff, we'll have a couple of beers afterwards. But yeah, it'll be quite good fun. Like, a lot of people say we're quite funny when we do our CrossFit, like our annual Christmas CrossFit. It's quite good fun. I'm wearing a full Father Christmas outfit, so you could just tell what kind of banter is going to be happening.
What day are you looking to do it?
Probably next Tuesday, so the 20th. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we'll look out for you guys.
No worries. And there's no chance we could borrow some equipment. It's just quite a shift to bring all our kettlebells down. If we just borrowed it rented some kettlebells and some ropes and stuff and some barbells.
As much as I'd like to help, no, they've They wouldn't allow that.
We're just get our stuff in the van, head down, and then I'll just pop in when I'm there and come say hi. I'll be absolutely drenched and sweat. Probably stinky of beer because I've been out on the town. But okay. All right, mate. Listen, keep it good. Love and champagne, mate. Love and champagne.
Bye. More life, more life, more life, more life.
A bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 113 of the Rugby's Podcast. Possibly unlucky, but we're hoping not. Mr. Archie Curzons, you're surviving silly season. You're looking absolutely wonderful. I thought you'd be more jaded, more scarred from this experience.
Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the BD King.
Are you the BD King? Lots of BD over the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely smashing, man. I've got to say, I'm thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying this silly season.
Well,
it just feels like the world is back to normal. Yeah. I'm out every day entertaining clients, which is my favourite thing to do. Just delivering chanter across
to the masses,
across London. Mainly in the city, but you know, I have been to Mayfair. I even ventured out to Richmond the other day to Scots to take a client there. I'm oscillating up and down the London business ladder.
And just when you felt that you may be getting tired of you know, the silly season, maybe the BD was getting a bit hard to do, the snow arrived.
Yeah, I know, and it's been a fantastic talking point.
Yeah,
you're walking in to a breakfast after it's been snowing the night before. You sit down, you know, you shake off the snow from your jacket and your shoes. You sit down and say, "Dominic, how about this snow?" And you can just see Dominic straight away. He's also experienced snow, and you've got something in common, and that's how you start a bloody good silly season breakfast.
Well, obviously,
and that works at lunchtime, supper time, drinks, coffees, because the snow, most people have experienced the snow, and you can start any meeting about the snow within the last, if you say it snowed on Monday, you could probably use that chat up until Friday. Anytime after that, it's a bit weird. It's the equivalent when someone writes to you on February and says, "I hope you had a good Christmas and New Year." You're like, "Oh,
too late.
You missed the boat."
Yeah.
That's bad BD.
That is bad BD. Well, obviously you've been doing wonderful BD. You know, you've been doing these incredible LinkedIn updates every single day, so people know what you've been up to.
Yes.
But a question which a lot of people are asking via the pod is, how are you surviving? How do you do this every single day?
Yeah, it is tough. It is tough. A lot of it's down to experience. You know, this isn't my first rodeo, but also pre-workout. That's my secret.
What's a pre-workout?
It's just a bit of powder. I put it, you know, I normally take pre-gym, and I'm just taking that anyway. So morning, wake up, I have my coffee, my pre-workout, and I'm bang up for it. I'm like energy through the roof. Right. Energy will dip through the day. Back on the pre-workout. Chuck a little, and what I take is I take the pre-workout in a little baggie and I put it in my pocket.
Right.
And every time I need a pick-me-up, I just do a little bit of pre-workout. And I tell you what, honestly, sometimes my mouth is operating quicker than my brain because I'm on so much pre-workout sometimes.
Yeah. You're going crazy tendons.
On fire. Everyone's like, "God, you will not stop talking." I'm like, I won't.
You're a machine gun.
I'm actually on it. And I feel like the best thing about it is I feel like I'm burning calories because I'm sweating the whole time.
It sounds quite painful.
No. No, it's not. I mean, the mornings are tough, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, because I only just started doing pre-workout.
Who got you into
it? 2-3 days ago. A guy in my office.
Right, okay.
Who, I mean, he's to be honest, he does too much pre-workout.
Right.
But yeah, just been doing that the last 4 days. It does take a toll. You know, you do dip in the morning, but straight away, get back on it. And you know what? You feel great. I'm sure I get to Christmas Day and I will have a real dip. But I will know I've given silly season absolutely everything.
Well, I know,
laying the foundation for 2023.
Well, I know you have been giving
I'm
everything.
I'm like a builder, Freddie, building a house.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
just doing the foundation You're in like December 2022, and then the house will come to fruition maybe March, April 2023.
Okay.
And then I'll sell the that house and I'll make a lot of cash.
Well, I know you've been working overtime.
Love the word fruition.
Yeah, it's fruition, I think.
No, but I love the word fruition.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Well, I know you've been working hard because I've seen it even on the weekend. You're updating your LinkedIn, you're hustling, you're getting your BD in order.
Well, that's the thing this weekend. I was like starved of ideas because I've been so entrenched in the BD.
Yeah.
I took a friend out for lunch and I just paid for it and I just treated him like a client. Mm. And that just kept me warm.
So when Monday came around, you were still on it.
I was literally ready to go. And it was like, it's like playing golf. The more you do it, the better you get.
Yeah, yeah. Well, obviously, let's quickly touch on the weekend, because there was another big event apart from you taking out your friend for lunch, and that was England getting knocked out of the football World Cup quarterfinal. Yes. Did you catch the game?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A few guys, I play rugby with the club and Folkers are into Kevpool, so we all went to the pub and watched it. I'm not that interested in football, Fred, as you know.
No, I know that, yeah.
But I thought they gave it a bloody good effort. They just need to work on, I think, you know, my note to them is just work on getting that ball in the net. Yeah. If they can do that, I honestly think a World Cup is around the corner.
Archie, obviously Christmas is only a couple of weeks away.
It is, Clodders.
And we want to give a couple of gifts to our listeners. Obviously, we've got the Carrow concert this Thursday, which is actually today when you listen to the podcast.
Yeah, if you're listening this morning, we will be in Old Town Tavern about 8 o'clock, 8:30, doing the Rigbiz Carol service.
It's going to be quite special.
Yeah, it's going to be bloody good.
But also, we want to give a gift.
Can't wait for that.
Of incredible guests, and we always try our best to get the best, and we always do. Last week we had Callie, which was exceptional in many different ways.
She was amazing.
She was wonderful, wasn't she?
Interesting fact. She is. Yeah, no, she's the second guest that we've had on this podcast that I've masturbated to.
Who was the first?
James Haskell.
Right, yeah, okay, well, that's understandable. But obviously, next week, I know you've got a surprise in store for us. We can't say who it is, but it's probably
it's
one of the most famous.
It's rugby royalty.
Yeah, it's one of the most famous.
I mean, we are quite lucky to be getting him. Yeah.
I don't know how.
I'm very excited, and it's going to be in person, so banter will be fruity.
Well, talking about being person, we thought we need to warm our cockles. How do we get ready for an in-person interview? Because over the last couple of years, it's all been over Zoom, over Skype, whatever. And so luckily, we found out when we were at the Raffles Rumble that we've got a huge guest.
God, I'd love to relive that night.
A huge fan in Josh Peters, who is the YouTube sensation. Yeah. Over 1.5 million followers on YouTube.
Yeah.
I think, what is it? A couple of hundred on Instagram?
Yeah, it's got a blue tick. Yeah. That's what's important. Yeah, he will have followers that will listen to his pod and make us more money.
And he's one of the most famous pranksters in the world. Did Katie Hopkins, Piers Corbin, and thousands of others. So I thought, why don't we get him around to Clapham and let's have a bit of banter.
You know what, Clodis? Normally, I don't like guys who hang out in their bedrooms and just make videos. No. I think that's a bit weird. But, you know, I met Josh at the Raffles Rumble. Really good guy. So why don't I just run upstairs, let him in, and let the banter commence.
Josh Peters, welcome onto the Rugbiz Pod, sir. How's it all going?
Really, really good. I'm a bit confused by what's happening. I've come into a very large house in Balham, and we appear to be in the sort of boys' den downstairs. Yeah.
This is Fredo's recording studio.
This is my studio.
This is where we do a lot of the pods, but we've never had a guest in person.
Right.
So it's great to see you. I can smell you. It is like an actual meeting at the Ned.
Yeah.
This table, we could be having lunch.
What's the Ned?
The Ned? Oh, Josh.
That's quite insulting, Josh.
You really need to learn about business.
Is it like Soho House? Or?
It's like Soho House, but just for guys in suits who have chanter, which is city banter.
How do you become a member of the Ned?
Well, it's a long process, Josh. First of all, you've got to hand in your tax return.
Right.
They've got to see that you're earning above six figures.
Okay.
You've got to be recommended by other high net worth individuals.
Fine.
Unless you're me, then I'm the CEO of Clapham. It's a position revered in London.
Is that a thing?
That's a thing. Yeah.
Well, it's not official.
It's kind of official. It's on LinkedIn.
Okay.
It's on LinkedIn.
So if you put something on LinkedIn, it is official, I suppose.
I actually just moved. I lived for 2 years. Yes. I lived in Clapham Common.
Whereabouts?
I know.
Clapham Old Town?
I know. That's
in the old town. About,
that's where you want to be, though.
Literally
isn't it?
1 minute walk to number 32.
Oh,
wow. What a place. It's what a pub. What an area.
Yeah.
Are you missing anything from the area?
A bit.
Ooh.
But it often smelt like sick, number 32.
Yeah. That's because everyone's having a really good time.
Yeah.
It's like Infernus. You walk in there straight away.
To be fair, I'm in King's Cross now. I can still get a tube to Infernus.
Yeah, well, that's important. But I mean, I knew you left because obviously I'm under my remit. You've got a blue tick.
Yeah.
Got a number of followers.
Yeah.
When someone of your ilk leaves the area, I get notified.
Fine.
You must have been pretty sad.
You should have got a letter, but I don't think we
have
your...
I'll get you my updated address. I mean, I'm still a big fan of Clapham. Maybe there's something we can do by bridging the sort of north of London to the southwest.
Ooh. We have thought in the past of franchising Clapham.
Sure.
In a way. we have looked at areas like King's Cross, but really what makes sense is Dubai.
Right.
Really, because it just suits the area.
Fine.
If I could move Clapham to anywhere, it would be Dubai, because the problem is that this time of year, it gets very cold not to wear socks.
Yeah.
And you start your night off
with cold feet, it doesn't work.
Okay.
But in Dubai, it's always hot.
You could be clapping 24/7.
And there's really good people around.
Well, let's tell the listeners how you guys...
This is like Joe Rogan.
How you guys came together.
We've never had a podcast like Joe Rogan.
No, it's amazing.
This is how it's happening.
Well, yeah, we're bridging new
waters.
Instead
of smoking weed, we're drinking Green Athletics.
Yeah, we're drinking Athletic Greens, taking vitamin
D. Dosing a lot of vitamin D down our tongue.
I thought it was going to be more professional in here, I must be honest.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
The thing is, I do a lot of the time. I walk in here and I think, has Freddie changed anything?
Yeah.
You know, we're making money from this pod.
Right.
What about the Peloton? We bought that.
The Peloton, yeah. Sometimes I will do a podcast on Peloton. And that's, we actually had the choice of getting a studio or getting a Peloton.
Yeah.
And you should have
bought
two of them.
We went to Peloton.
I've got one in my house because I like to Peloton in the morning. And I brought one here because I like to Peloton while I podcast.
Let's say how we got together, because we met in the smoking area of the Clapham Grand a couple of weeks ago during the Raffles Rumble. Which I know, Archie, you think is one of the top three social events in the calendar.
Brilliant. Brand, it was good.
Yeah.
Feathers and Polo in the Park.
Yep. Yep.
So we obviously left off the commentary. You went for the big night out of Raffles. Were you there for the rest of the night?
I was.
How was it? Did you
the
party
rest of the Raffles Rumble?
Yeah.
It was thrilling.
Yep.
You haven't done all your research, because perhaps unbeknownst to you, I once fought in the Raffles Rumble.
I knew that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I went there. Yeah, like I said, I've never missed a Raffles Rumble.
Right.
And you did bloody well.
Yeah, I lost there.
He lost.
I felt
he
like
lost.
It was I felt like I was up against it. Do you know who Toby Huntington Whiteley is?
Yes.
Rosie Huntington Whiteley's brother.
Yeah. No, I know.
Jason Statham's brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I was up against it.
Yeah.
Big guy. Took you down.
You know, I'm tall.
You are.
And he's tall. But I'm tall and skinny, and he was quite tall and sort of large. He had a good, chassis.
What happened in the fight? Just talk us through it. Are you friends now?
Yeah, we made up after the fight.
Good.
But before the fight, there was no talking. You know, there was a lot of sort of hostile eye contact being made beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
It went three rounds. The full three rounds went to the end. At the time, I thought I'd won. And I was quite disappointed not to win.
Sounds a bit like your fight, Archie. Karen.
Yeah, I saw... once reviewing the footage back afterwards, that in fact, I think the right decision was made in him winning.
It sounds exactly like when you lost the Pano. You thought you'd won, you lost the three rounds, but ultimately, when you watched the footage back, you were the worst fighter.
No, I completely disagree.
You still disagree.
But it's interesting, because I knew about your fight, and an interesting fact about me is that I know every single person in the London area, bar one or two, with a double barrel name. So I knew your opponent.
because it was Toby Huntington Whiteley.
Yeah. Really strong name.
Well, we're talking about successful posh guys called Archie. Obviously, Josh, your partner in crime, is the magician prankster Archie Manners.
Yes.
How did you guys sort of both meet and forge this friendship and this working partnership?
So I saw Archie for the first time online. He used to have a series called Archie Asks, where he'd go to different events and interview people. So he'd go to Wimbledon and ask people who were watching if they were excited to see Jacob Rees-Mogg play Claire Balding in the next round.
Mm-hmm.
And people would say, oh yes, you know, I think Jacob's going to win in the third set. They were really great. They're still on YouTube and Facebook, I think, if people want to check them out.
I'll write that down.
Write that down. We say that a lot on the pod, and people don't believe you do that, but write it down.
Yeah. That's important.
That is important. I like to look at stuff. I want to have good material for later.
And I was then introduced to him by a mutual friend of mine. We worked on a few videos together.
Mm-hmm.
They went really well, and we then formed a partnership, and now we've had the YouTube channel together for 3 years, and it's been going good. We just set up a production company as well called Goon Squad Productions, which makes our YouTube videos, but then we also create adverts and things for brands.
Congratulations.
So I hope you don't mind a bit of a plug on the podcast.
No, of course. We've got thousands listening.
That makes good business sense. I would be upset if you didn't plug.
That's what I thought. So, you know, you could introduce me to your network.
That's what we're doing. Over 25,000 people listen to podcasts
on
the first day.
Yeah.
100,000 people.
And that's your, I mean, what about your private network?
Private network, I mean, that
good
is, we'd have to talk outside the pod. That's LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And now if you want introduction to 15,000 high net worth individuals, that comes at a price.
Okay.
But that also comes with 15,000 individual face-to-face meetings with high net worth individuals who will look to invest, not just in you now, but for you in the future.
Well, come on, let's get into your career, Josh, because talking pranks, obviously your videos have amassed hundreds of millions of views on YouTube and other platforms. But what is the process of coming up with ideas? Because I was reading a bit on YouTube about creatives having beef with each other. Someone comes up with an idea for a video, goes viral. Someone else says, we released something similar a week ago, or we had the idea. So have you ever had beef with other creators? And what is your process with Archie? I mean, obviously you release a video not every single week. Apparently the algorithm says once a week at the same time. What are your thoughts on that?
I think we wish we could upload more. We just upload as much as we can make videos that we think are good. Obviously, with the nature of the videos we create, they often go wrong. So there have been quite a few videos we've, you know, gotten down the line with, but then have fallen apart. So they've never gone up. And then it's really hard because you want people to think you're doing a lot of work and doing well, because that's sort of how we all are, I think, naturally. But then from the outside, it looks like you're just sort of sitting around doing nothing, because we've gone months without uploading before. But we really are trying that whole time to get something made. But, you know, for whatever reason, it doesn't work out. So as much as we can, in terms of how we come up with ideas, just a lot of talking, reading newspapers. And honestly, ideas come in the weirdest, strangest ways. It's always sort of different. Archie is he's super, super creative.
So wait, is that
Archie Manners?
I thought you were calling. Oh, right,
he wasn't unfortunately speaking about you.
Yeah.
I like the sound of him. He's got a really good name.
Yeah. No.
It'd be quite funny if he was here, because that would be quite. That'd be so funny if he was here as well.
Because it'd be Archie,
and then everyone would be like, "Who are you talking about?"
His friends from school call him Manners.
Manners, and I'd say, just to make things simple, I just call myself like Curzon.
Curzon. Well, thank God he's not here.
Okay, yeah.
And we can hear from
Josh.
So
funny though.
Yeah, it would be hilarious.
And then you said like, my Archie. We'd be like, "Oh, this is Archie."
Yeah.
Write that down, so I'll tell people.
Well, carry on, Josh.
About that.
That would be funny.
A very funny story.
We read an article while we were together in the Daily Mail, Archie.
Love that paper.
Yeah, it's a great paper.
I was recently in it. I don't
really
know. Yeah, in the female section.
Right.
So I don't know if you think it's clever wordplay.
Yeah,
and then there's a space and a male.
Because it doubles up. It's like a woman and like their newspaper.
So it's for men and women.
Yeah.
And there's this beautiful section where they were talking about me and Mike Tindall. Because you obviously had an advert with Mike Tindall.
No, I didn't know that.
And it was the way they talked about me was, I don't know, really touching.
Yeah. They called you guest, didn't they?
They called guest.
Yeah.
But
to Mike Tindall and guest.
Yeah, guest.
Okay.
But, and it was just, I've always imagined that was how it would go. Really good paper.
Yeah.
God, there's so many migrants coming. I don't want to talk about it, but it's just awful.
Well, Josh,
they're
come
not
on.
My views, they're the views of the Daily Mail. But I then when I read it, I'm like, I think that.
You know, you've actually reminded me what I was saying, so thank you. That was what I was saying. We read this article.
Yeah.
We thought, let's give this a try. I wonder if it's possible to hatch an egg that you've bought from a supermarket, because apparently a lot of quail's eggs in supermarkets are fertilized. So we bought a bunch, put them in an incubator, and 21 days later, it hatched into a real quail in our apartment.
See in the video. Beautiful.
That was the video we made. So
did you eat it?
We didn't eat it. We gave it to Godstone Farm in Surrey.
That sounds right.
YouTube is the new frontier. Now, obviously, this Katie Hopkins video is the one which really, really blew up to a wider audience. Obviously, you've got your keen viewers every week, but every video, I should say. That one's got 8.5 million views. Now, obviously, algorithm behind YouTube is a fascinating subject. What is like your average take for an 8.5 million viewed video? Just give them, I know it changes video to video. You don't have to give us a rough number, because obviously it's a fascinating world, YouTube. Some can have 100 million and not make as many as one with 1 million.
So my parents taught me never to talk about money.
Yeah. Well, this is a different problem. We talk about money.
Your parents brought you up wrong.
but I can tell you that on YouTube.
But give us a rough idea.
I'd rather not
a
say how
basic
much.
Salary
no, but, no, not I for can, you, but for like a rough video so per can, million or whatever.
Exactly. So it varies so much, which is super interesting about YouTube. And it varies according to the kind of content you create and how much advertisers can advertise on it. So to put it simply, if you're a YouTube channel that make videos about supercars, you're probably going to have quite high quality things advertised on your videos, because they want to get viewers who are interested in supercars. Mm-hmm. So they might advertise them any number of things to do with supercars. On those people's videos, they will probably get paid more per view than someone like me and Archie, who make videos that are kind of random. There's no specific subject matter.
Yep.
So let's say the supercar channel might be earning anywhere from sort of $10 to $15 per thousand views, whereas someone whose channel is more varied and there's not really any specific product that can be advertised, it probably goes more towards like $2 to $5 per thousand views.
Okay.
But yeah, it's super interesting.
Do the math. He's still making a lot of money off those videos. Can you do the math?
I'm doing it.
You're doing it, yeah. We'll give you about 2-3 minutes.
£10,000. That's quite incredible for YouTube videos. That is quite incredible some people. I mean, look, fair play to have a job and you're making £10,000 a video. That's, in my estimation, good on you, because lot of people just think you're sitting on a sofa.
Yeah.
Not, you know, like, you probably don't know the joy of getting on the Northern Line at 6:30 in the morning.
No.
But that's fair on you. So you do, what, a couple of those a year? Good on you.
Yeah.
How did you afford to live in Clapham?
I lived with a very successful YouTuber, Casper Lee. So, you know, he footed the bill a lot of the time for me, which was nice. Yeah. Do you know Casper?
No, but I love, all these guys have got bloody good names. I thought YouTubers were sort of like state school educated people with like, who played Warhammer. Now you've got guys like Archie and Casper. I should have got in this game. That's bloody good. Because I think a lot of them are sort of just weird guys who probably just sort of sat like looking at a computer screen and got all this, it's just odd. And now Casper and Archie, I'm now actually thinking I've probably played rugby against them or something.
Yeah, probably.
It's Casper
probably
Lee, motivated. What a name.
Commercial break.
Silly season, yo, make yourself at home. We got mince pies and some of that more lash though. Sit back in your throne, turn off your phone, cause this is our zone. Netflix, Christmas films, Instagram and a Hinge. So I chat up a cheeky with precision, few jokes and a famous mention. Send her a song by Weezer and a pic of me at the Leaning Tower of Pisa. These are our ways here, and this is the day in the life of a geezer. Just said she wants to come round, so I pull out my sack and sit down. Make sure I get my manscaped out now, trim my hairy balls and then we'll get down. We're on a mission to support the cause. Sign a petition, summon all your wisdom. Manscaped's a gift from the man on high, the Lord and his children. She'd never touch me if I had a hairy bush. Come rain or snow, trust me, she'd never go. You still don't know? Well, stand on the corner and watch the show, cause life moves slow. Sort your bush out, then go. Hairy cock don't get you nowhere. Some men rise, some men fall. I hear you call, stand tall now.
Gentlemen around the world, you've got a couple of weeks' time until Christmas. Now why don't you give yourself the greatest present ever imaginable? Give yourself 20% off all Manscaped products and free delivery with the code RIGBIZ20. It's time to sort your bushes out. Come on, you're letting your families down, your friends, your distant relatives, your enemies. Go into the new year with a new you. Sort your bush out. It's nearly 2023. The greatest gift in the world. Use the code RIGBIZ20. You're welcome.
Well, Josh, I do want to ask, obviously you were talking about failed projects. I mean, failed's a bit harsh, but projects which didn't see the light of day.
Yeah.
What was the, can you give us one which failed and why?
Yes, there was a video where we wanted to get a gay conversion therapist to star in a gay porno without him realizing. So he thought he would be in an advert and it would slowly descend into a sort of more of a scene from a porn film. A gay porn film, and we wanted to see how he might react to that, and he caught on to us, unfortunately, but that would have been a fun one.
Right, well, Josh, obviously this algorithm problem, you know, people are commenting on your videos, and it must be a weird one because, you know, they're all incredible, I think, they're all great, and you take your time to create and release. No, I generally think that. And
let's see a lie detector test.
And you're looking at, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 million views plus, and then you have the occasional one which doesn't get as many.
Sure.
And you have your comments from obviously your incredibly loyal followers and maybe new people as well, saying the algorithm isn't kind to these guys. So do you often find that? Do you get frustrated by it? And have you wrapped your head around what isn't, you know, when you invest in something, you chose Biltong, I would say bad market, you say good market. But when you think about coming up with ideas, how much of it do you have to think algorithm-wise? Because it may be brilliant, but actually it may not get you views.
Yeah, I think the algorithm is something everyone's always trying to understand. I don't think there's any kind of conspiracy against us or any other YouTube channel. I think YouTube has just become an incredibly competitive place. You know, 5 years ago, you weren't competing with The Late Late Show and like Trevor Noah's Daily Show. Now, every form of entertainment is on YouTube. So the competition is way higher. And I think what you're creating has to just appeal to a lot of people, and not only appeal to them, it has to keep them on the video once they've clicked on it. And I do do think it's as simple as that. So the concept of your video has to be something really interesting that people want to click on, and the contents of it have to be really good so people want to continue watching it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I hate to break it to you, but I think, if I remember correctly, my father, Alistair, was a fan of your stuff. but he no longer follows.
Why?
Why not?
And if he was here, I'd have a bone to pick with you.
Why?
Why? Because of the Katie Hopkins.
He's a fan of hers, isn't he?
Yeah, she is his dream woman.
And yeah, I actually, you know, the town I'm from in South Africa is quite small, and it's sort of rural. And when I went back there, some people thought that that was really unfair, and they weren't happy with me.
Yeah, well, she has got some great political point of views.
What, you agree with her?
I don't,
not everything, but some.
The problem with Katie Hopkins, I'll be honest, I don't want to go into, I don't want to become too political. We're not this kind of podcast. That's for a business meal.
First and foremost, you're the mayor of Clapham. You don't want to divide
that. Yeah, I don't want to divide. That's certainly not my position. I'm a neutral guy. The problem with Katie Hopkins I've got, okay, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate. I start watching her YouTube channel and I'm not listening. I'm just staring at how hot she is. That's her problem is you switch off and you get to the end of it. And you're completely done. You finish yourself
off. You missed all the content.
You've not listened to any of it.
Yeah.
And that is, I'm guessing, why Katie Price never went into doing political videos.
So you're saying
you need to look like Theresa May if you're going to do something like that. That's the thing.
So you're saying Katie Hopkins might as well go on OnlyFans with her content.
I don't want to wish that. I mean, that would be brilliant. Yeah. I would love to see Katie Hopkins just naked. With an English flag drawn on her boobs, riding a dildo.
Yeah,
that would be a gift. My dad, I think, would broke our relationship.
Well, Josh, let's get into that because 2020, right? I think it was just pre-pandemic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was
just before the lockdown. January. And Katie Hopkins, you convinced her to accept a fake award. What was it? It was the campaign to unify the nation trophy. Cunt. AKA cunt. We'll let us swear on this.
It's
board,
so basically, if you take the first letter of each of the words, and
that's very clever. Yeah. That's very clever.
Anyway, so just take us through the idea behind it. For those who haven't seen it, I'm sure everyone has, but take us through the idea because there was quite a lot of planning in this one.
Yeah.
Just take us through what happened.
So Katie Hopkins was someone we had talked about doing something to for a while, me and Archie. She's obviously got a lot of controversial views. But, you know, we're both believers in freedom of speech as well. So we just wanted to pull a stunt that would allow us to use our freedom of speech to make her look a bit silly and expose her for who we thought she really was. And how we went about doing that was we set up a campaign group called the Cape Town Collective for Freedom of Speech, which was completely made up. We said we were a campaign group for freedom of speech that discussed the sort of modern issues of our world. And we thought she was a great advocate for freedom of speech. So we wanted to nominate her for our inaugural campaign to unify the nation trophy. Initially, it was meant to happen in Cape Town. And we'd already been corresponding with her. And she said, oh, I'd really love to come, but I'm actually banned from South Africa. So yeah, she's not allowed in the country because of a farm murder documentary she made there. So we said, oh, not to worry. We're actually going on a group trip to Prague in January. Could you meet us there? And she said that sounded great. So we organized for her to meet us in Prague. We booked the Four Seasons Hotel and 10 actors. We found South African actors in Prague, which was really helpful.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable.
And staged this whole dinner where I think she felt like she was in a room full of like-minded people, and it allowed her to speak her true mind rather than the public-facing opinion she gives. And I think we got to get a real insight into who Katie Hopkins is as a person. And to top it all off, we presented her with her trophy, which was the CUNT award.
And did she find out there that you pranked her? So she walked away from the day thinking, great day.
Yeah, no, she walked away sort of toting her trophy in the air.
What was the fallout from that? Because obviously she's got a lot of loyal fans.
Mm.
People, you know, we don't necessarily agree with, maybe you do on some of the points, but obviously...
I'm not a fan of Katie. I'm a fan of her, the way she looks.
She looks, okay, sorry. But obviously...
And, I would, you know... I won't butt about it. If I get a moment at home with some Tiger Balm.
Katie Hopkins is on YouTube.
Tiger Balm.
Tiger Balm is a sort of deep heat kind of
muscle balm, isn't it? Yeah.
And I use it. I use it to relieve myself.
Okay.
Actually, coming out in 2023 is AC balm. AC balm. It's a sexual balm.
Right,
Just for the rigs out there.
I can imagine you got a bit of abuse off the back of that video, but what's the sort of worst fallout you've had from one of your incredible videos?
The funniest fallout I think we've gotten was we did a video where we bribed Piers Corbyn, who is a sort of renowned anti-vaxxer. We asked him if he would stop talking badly about AstraZeneca and instead focus his efforts on Pfizer and Moderna, and in exchange for that we would give him £10,000, and instead of giving him £10,000 we gave him £10,000 in monopoly money.
It was brilliant.
So that was super interesting, because the fallout from that, now obviously all of his fans are massive conspiracy theorists already, so there were all these conspiracy theories involving me and Archie now starting to sort of circulate on the internet that we were hired by the Daily Mail to bring down the anti-vax movement. And then it got so deep that some people actually thought that Piers Corbyn was in on it with us, and he'd been paid by the Daily Mail in order to bring down the anti-vax movement. So he's not a true anti-vaxxer. He's like an incel within the... so that was
that
really interesting. I went deep down some threads. A lot of people said we misedited the video because, get this, in one scene it was raining and in the next it was sunny. So they thought that must
have
been...
They've obviously never been to the UK.
Exactly.
Or Clapham.
Yeah, four seasons in a day.
Yeah, we sometimes... That's what I love about Clapham. You'll get hot, cold, rain and wind.
And snow even
sometimes.
And sometimes
snow, if you're lucky. But do you ever... Like, you obviously got a big profile. People know you are. I mean, a lot of people abuse me, and yeah, I don't want to go into like rat boy, and like little rat face, and little rat, you know. And I'm
they
like,
say that about you.
Yeah, and I'm like, whatever. I mean, I don't look a rat.
No.
But do you get abuse, and how do you deal with it? Because you've got such a big profile.
If 1%, and that's generally what it is, of viewers on a video are commenting, that, you know, they're probably mostly just little kids, or who knows who they are commenting. I don't think you can take the 1% of people viewing your video that seriously. But I think it's important to also not get yourself carried away with the good comments as well. So you sort of, and that's maybe a note for you, Archie.
Yeah.
You know, don't get too carried away with the good comments, because then the bad comments will hurt you.
I'm a big hit with kids in boarding school.
You really are.
And that's the thing. That's the tricky thing. So I realized a lot of kids in boarding school liked my stuff. Uh-huh. And I thought, brilliant. Then I started visiting these various boarding schools.
Oh dear.
But that became problematic. Because if you're not a teacher or you're not a pupil,
you can't just show up.
You can't just turn up.
So what happened?
Well, I'm trying to sort it out at the moment.
Police were called, yeah.
Probably wouldn't talk
no,
about it.
No, I just got escorted off.
Yeah, okay.
But I just come in and watch the Ruggers.
Yeah.
Like, it was a really good match. Millfield versus Radley.
Uh-huh.
Two powerhouses of the private school.
Yeah.
I drove, I think it was 5 hours. I booked a hotel, and I just thought I booked a hotel, went down there, watched the game.
Were you on your own?
Fabulous game, by myself.
Uh-huh.
And it was cold that day, so I was wearing my anorak. And then the problem came is when I invited all the boys back to my hotel room.
The school boys.
Yeah, I said, listen, boys. I mean, a lot of them are getting to the age of 18. I said, listen, sack off. Just say, you know, just like, because you did it at school, just sack off.
Yeah.
Coming out. Just say you're going to your parents. Come into my hotel room. And then that's what happened. I had 10 boys from boarding school in my room drinking with me. And I didn't realize some of them weren't 18. Next thing you know, yeah.
Police are killed.
Nightmare.
Well,
not absolute nightmare. We'll see what happens in 2023. I've lured up.
You've got such a way with words.
A lot of people do say that. A lot of people, like I said, I think my brain works. I try to sleep 8 hours a night. But I think realistically, my brain is still working while I'm sleeping. And like, I almost wake up knowing how the day's going to go and what kind of conversations I want to have.
Right.
I'm sometimes feel like I'm not of this planet, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you study at Bristol?
When I was at Bristol, I studied business, business development, and politics. The thing is, what a lot of people don't realise is it's not about what you study at university. It's all about having fun at university.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's when you get to London, you've got to have contacts. You've got to be able to know network, as you have with Casper.
Yeah.
But, you know, my godfather owned the company I now work for. So straight away, my CV read remarkably well. You know, gap year, Canary Wharf.
Yeah.
I'd already worked for the company in my gap year. Yeah. I came back, I said, look, I'm ready to give you my blood, sweat and tears. And I've been there for 15 years. And it's been the best 15 years of my life.
What would you say to the people who would say that sort of seems like nepotism and unfair that you would be given a job at the place that your uncle owns?
Nepotism? It's nothing sexual at all.
Nepotism.
There's nothing sexual with my godfather at all.
Do you know what nepotism is, Arch?
Yeah, that is disgusting. I did not put my tongue there. It's just the way the world works. You know, my dad's 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 dad knew somebody who worked in the city, went to school with someone in the city, and I think, you know, that's the beauty of the city. You go there, everyone knows somebody. You know, from either a skiing holiday.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, look, there is some nepotism with some people, but that's normally with, normally guys who've gone to boarding school. I don't know. But and if you can do nepotism in the right way, I do think, actually. Now that you've been on a rugby tour, there's a lot of nepotism. But no, not certainly me. I know people say, probably people won't think about the sexual nepotism I'm doing, but more, you know, the connection I have with my godfather is unfair. Well, you know, you've got to keep it in the family. Yeah. I'm pretty open-minded, Josh. Uh-huh. Like nepotism, you know, if you eat your heart out.
You're a modern guy.
I'll probably nepotism someone this weekend.
Well, Josh, you've been incredibly generous with your time. Let's finish off with a couple of sort of quick-fire ones. But since finding fame, what's been the sort of the craziest experience you've had, either with a famous person or just like in general? So some experience where you're like, Jesus, I'm a, you know, semi-pro cricketer from Stoke.
It involves a video we made as well. We made a video where we got this guy, Ty Jones from Manchester, who is a pretty normal guy. He's a bingo caller at his local bingo center. And everything about him is normal, except for the fact that he looks exactly like Ed Sheeran. And there was a big YouTube boxing match. So the guy you mentioned earlier, KSI, was fighting another YouTuber from America. You know America. He's called...
bloody big country.
Big country, yeah. His name is Logan Paul.
Logan Paul. I know Logan Paul.
Yeah.
I regularly drink Prime.
Ah, okay, great. Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, they were having a boxing fight and it was going to be attended by loads of celebrities, including Justin Bieber and Wiz Khalifa and a whole bunch of very famous people. So we bought ringside tickets and took Ty from Manchester, who looks like Ed Sheeran, to the fight and basically convinced everyone there that this guy was Ed Sheeran. And because of that, we got given seats sort of next to Rick Ross and Justin Bieber at the boxing. As soon as Justin Bieber showed up, we sort of moved away because he'd obviously recognize it wasn't Ed Sheeran. We then were taken to a nightclub afterwards where the nightclub sort of let us skip the queue. You know how you get that massive queue at Inferno's?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you probably skip that anyway.
Every time.
You know, this was Los Angeles, a place I'm not familiar with.
Yeah.
And they, because they thought we were with Ed Sheeran, they let us skip the queue with about 10 guys with us. And they generally don't like guys at these nightclubs either. We got to go straight into the nightclub. They gave us loads of free drinks. There was sort of, you know, champagne everywhere, sparklers. The guy who got us into the nightclub then also asked if we wanted a Lamborghini or a Ferrari to drive around for the weekend while Ed Sheeran was in Los Angeles. And we basically had this incredible night, all of it filmed for a video. So we were ecstatic that this was working, like we had this great video we were making, but also we kind of got to experience what it might be like to be Ed Sheeran for one night, which was incredible.
That is incredible.
I mean, it's probably not too dissimilar to being you in Clapham on a Saturday.
It's not. And you're saying about queue jump. I do queue jump. You know, obviously I skip a queue, but what I normally do is I just get there at 9:30 when the doors open because then there is no queue.
Do you ever? I was on a Virgin Atlantic flight recently, and Richard Branson, funnily enough, was literally on the flight. And he walked down the whole plane and said hello to everyone and chatted to people. Do you ever
do that
the Inferno's queue?
Inferno's, I will go around in, you know, Snake the game.
Yeah.
You know how you can make the snake go like that? That's what I do. Start at one side and from 12 to 1, that's what I'm doing. I'm just going back. I mean, You're welcome to Infernos. A lot of some people don't know who I am.
And then that's surprising.
Maybe they've come in from out of town.
Then I just stop them and I take them to a quiet corner. I just show them all my videos and just be like,
"Yeah, make them watch it."
I do that.
Are they embarrassed after that happens?
No, they're like, "Oh, sorry." That's how I built such a big following in the last couple of months, because I just stop people. Knock yourself out.
The way you set up your life is incredible.
Well, Josh, talking about creating videos, and just to finish off, what's the next big video? Do you have something you're working on at the moment? What can we expect to see coming out in the next couple of weeks, months, years?
I hate to tell you this. We are struggling a bit for an idea at the moment. So we are working on it. We've got one idea, but I'm sort of not so sure about it. I want to see what you guys maybe think of this. We had an idea to determine what the actual average willy size in the UK is by conducting a survey across 1,000 different men in the UK and answer that question of how big the average willy is in the UK.
Yeah. It's about 9 inches.
We can't decide if it's a bit weird or if it's kind of interesting.
I think a lot of people would watch it. You were saying to Callie Slazer a couple of weeks ago, whatever, that you've seen so many penises, you can tell without seeing penises.
I can tell all my rugby team's penises.
This seems like a video you could be involved
in. Not by even look, by touch.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. I think that's a good idea.
Well, Josh Peters, thank you so much for coming on. You've been absolutely incredible.
It has been
first in person guest. You were wonderful.
Wonderful, yeah. An extremely good in depth chat. I think
we're going to start a YouTube page, aren't we?
You need to get on that.
I'll get on that.
I'm far too busy to be in that.
Okay.
Just get the views up.
Get the views up. Okay.
Yeah.
Josh, thank you so much for coming to Clapham, mate. I know you've left recently, but it's wonderful to have you back in the vicinity.
Fingers crossed we can get you back.
We're in Balham.
Freddie.
Thank you for coming on the pod.
Thank
you for coming on the pod.
The secrets of the pod have been released.
Thank you for coming.
Love and champagne.
Thanks, guys.
What an absolute legend.
Yeah, really good guy. Just let him out. I think he thoroughly enjoyed that. It's not nice for him, actually, probably to get out of his bedroom.
Yeah.
And he'll probably be on his way to go and see his mates Archie and Casper.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like he hangs around with quite a good set.
He does.
That's my worry. You know, some of these guys aren't educated properly, but Josh sounds like he hangs out with a couple of good guys. Casper, Archie, they're strong names.
But also, are you...
My name's Archie,
Are you inspired to start a YouTube page off the back of that?
Not
good
really.
Good money to be made.
No, not really.
Oh, really?
No. I think I'll just keep doing business in the city. It's a solid way of life. I don't think I could do that. You know, I need routine cleaners. You know, I need to do the same thing every single day, apart from Saturday and Sunday, which works out quite well for me, because I'm normally quite exhausted from doing the same thing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Sometimes I do it on Saturday, if I'm feeling, you know, up for it.
Well, Archie, that was absolutely wonderful. Great to see you, sir. Thanks for giving up so much time during what is an amazingly busy city season for you.
Any time, Clothes, because, you know, this pod means a lot to me. And it's just going from strength to strength. I mean, the array of guests we've had, you know, this year has been phenomenal.
And we must remind our listeners to go get hold of some Athletic Greens via the link in the box.
Yeah.
Also, go to the Manscaped website.
I'm on Athletic Greens all the time. And hand on heart, it is bloody good. It gives you loads of energy. It's a great way to start the morning. And you're getting all the goodness in there. That really is the core of why I've had such a phenomenal silly season. Because I'm not getting sick. And I feel like I'm ready for it.
The secret is
obviously the pre-workout helps.
Yeah, of course. Well, also another thing which would help.
Nothing like a bit of cheeky pre-workout.
If you did have a girlfriend, if you had a partner, if you were, you know, sexually active, another thing which would help you would be not having a bush. And that's why we're also giving off 20% from all Manscaped products and free delivery with the code RIGBIS20.
But what I can tell, I think at least 30 to 40% of the listenership of this podcast aren't sexually active. That's the problem. But what I would say to them is, if you want to be sexually active, then shave your balls.
You need to be ready for all scenarios.
Because you've got to be ready. It will come when it's least expected.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you'll be at a mate's house playing spin the bottle, you'll kiss a girl, and then one thing will lead to another, and you'll be in bed.
Yeah.
And then when she knows that you're clean shaven, she'll know that you're experienced.
Otherwise,
you'll just have to fake it.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, that prepares you for the business world, because you know, you'll be thrown in the deep end, and you have to survive.
Well,
that's the way I found my first sexual encounter. I just had to blag it.
That was beautifully put. Yeah. That was beautifully
put. It turned out I was doing it in her legs, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
But still had a good time. And she didn't know the difference.
No, she knows your first time out. Well,
if anything, she said it was more pleasurable than actually doing it properly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thigh is often an untouched area.
Yeah.
I mean, incredibly
inspiring
words.
She had
very
strong thighs. She was very, yeah.
Hockey player or netballer?
No. She was lacrosse.
Lacrosse. That
but
makes
she
sense.
Worked out in the gym.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that makes total sense. Yeah. Well, Archie.
She can really hold them tight, Claire.
I know you're a very, very busy man. I will see you tonight at the Old Town Tavern.
I cannot wait.
Boston Carols. We got a couple of surprises.
The last song
there.
Is I'm doing a solo, I should say. You,
well, and don't give it all away.
And the last song of the night is More Lash, More Lash, More Lash, More
Lash. Yeah, it's Christmas, so it's time to Lash. Yeah. Top 10 in 2019.
I can't wait.
2020, sorry.
Kolodas, give me a high five. Yeah. That was a bloody good podcast.
It was wonderful to see you.
It's so good. I'm feeling so Christmassy.
Yeah, that's good. Are you on the pre-workout now?
Yeah, I am. Yeah,
right,
yeah,
makes sense. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
He's been sweating the whole way through.
I know. I've got to take a deep breath.
Do you want a water or something?
No. I'm off. I've got my rucksack here, so I might just chuck my suit in a bag and go for a run.
Okay.
All
right. Well, I'll see you tonight
guys.
At 8 o'clock.
I knew we'll hang outside the window. Beautiful and strange. It must be found in a way. I must be sound and color with me for my mind. And the ship showed me where to go when I need to speak.
Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.